I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say, this is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Back to full strength on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Appreciate you hanging out for the next 4 hours with you. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, which, no more. Sorry to pour salt in that open wound. Stevie?
Nah, it's not an open wound. I'm good.
It's all closed up?
Yeah, I'm good.
Already? We got like 3 days.
Yeah, I'm good.
Like 72 hours, man. I thought I was going to be able to get a little bit of salt, a little sugar packet, and keep pouring it in there and needle at you a little bit. Get the vein popping out here by 207, 208.
No, I'm pretty good, man.
You're feeling all good.
I'm good, yeah.
After you know what? I hate to hijack the show.
Get after it, Gary.
But I want to know what you feel about it.
Oh, about the – yeah, because you haven't all heard, haven't heard from me since
right?
Wednesday,
no.
I guess.
The Bucks
I mean,
lost
I know we
straight.
Got something else here, but I just – I mean, I can't fathom they lost four straight.
And I was thinking
four straight?
Stevie be scratching at the bit, chomping at the bit, Gary. He texted me yesterday, goes, it was a really, really good vacation. Wish Steve a happy birthday. It was Steve's birthday yesterday, by the
Thank
way.
You.
Okay.
And
thank you very much, Steve.
He goes, yeah, I'm really excited. I got to vent a little bit.
Oh.
I'm like,
okay.
Sweet. All right.
All
okay.
Right. Let's
Steve,
go.
Steve, now we're talking. Let's
yeah,
do this
let's
thing.
Talk about the Bucks.
Yeah, no, not about the Bucks.
Oh,
this Iowa thing.
Come on.
So we're going to get into Steve's gripe about the great state of Iowa here coming up later on. But Steve, first off, like Gary said, I want to hear what you have to say about the Bucks losing four straight and getting bounced in six games to the Toronto Raptors over the weekend. He giggles.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot that's happened since I left.
Well, they lost four straight.
Look, what happened was the bench is reversed, right? The Bucks bench went cold. It's a fact, Mirotić didn't really play in the last game. Van Vliet got unconscious in games 3 through 7. If he's like that against Golden State's going to have their hands full as well. And he couldn't hit a shot for the previous month. So that obviously killed him. Baca obviously played well. Siakam played well. Giannis, since that second missed air ball free throw, didn't seem to be nearly as aggressive or the same type of guy as he was in the previous series. So that really hurt him a lot. Bledsoe got aggressive for a half, and then went back to being what Bledsoe was. Middleton disappeared again. When they tied that game, so I'll just tell you. So when I was on the trip,
yeah, just tell us. Yeah.
We had our skills competition at the Field of Dreams movie site on Saturday night. So that's when that game was playing. So they didn't even have restrooms. They had two porta potties for 1,000 people. So clearly I was not going to be able to watch the game while I was there. Mm-hmm. And our 12-year-old was in the home run derby. So we were sitting there watching that, and people were checking their phones, scoring updates. And when I left, they were up 13, I want to say, or something like that.
This is now, game 4? I mean, the
this
last
game
last
six.
Game,
six,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'm going through the radio on my rental car, driving back to the hotel, trying to find the game. Nothing's
out there.
Can't find. No, there's nothing. I don't know how those people live. Mm-mm. So there's like no radio.
I think the same.
I do not understand. Like they are deplete of radio stations. Like they should have way more than they do. But
you gotta have whatever. XM.
Right, which I didn't have in the rental car.
That's the only thing.
So okay, fine. So I get back and Kay, who is at the hotel with Jackson, the 3-year-old, is texting me updates of what's going on. She's sitting in the restaurant that's attached to the hotel.
Perfect.
And she had just ordered herself some dinner. So I was like, don't order me anything, but when I get there, I'll order something. So I sit down. I look up at the score. It's like 8-10 points at the end of the third quarter, or near the end of the third quarter. So like 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. So from that point to the end of the game, I watched the rest of the game. Third quarter ended. I turned to her and I said, they're in a lot of trouble. She goes, but they're still up. I said, I'm telling you, the rhythm and the flow of this game is changing right here at the end of this quarter. It's going to be a problem.
And that was the 10-0 run that Toronto kickstarted their big run on.
When they tied the game in the fourth quarter, I forgot who it was that texted me, and I just texted them, it's over. And they responded, the game? I'm like, yep, they're done. And that was it. It was all done. You could tell by watching the game, the momentum had shifted, and there was just no way that Bucks were able to pull back that momentum. And, you know, we talked all year long, and I felt victim to being prisoner of the moment, which I do all the time. Gary will tell you this.
Well, you're a total fan.
Right. That's what I am.
Total.
So I fell victim to the moment after the first two games, but even before the series started, that there was just no way they were losing this series. And they shouldn't have lost this series. But what we learned in this series was that if this team, and this is going to go to the question, is the roster good enough to win a championship as is? If this team is going to be a team that wins a championship, you know, we can all talk about Giannis and, you know, what he's got to work on and all of that, and we've done that plenty. But the reality of the situation, folks, is Chris Middleton must get better and must get far more aggressive and consistent game in and game out. He can't just disappear in games of that magnitude and just quit taking shots and just not be a part of the offense. He just can't. You can't have that if he's your second best player. If you think he's your second best player, which if they're going to pay him, they obviously do. You can't disappear in big games like that. He's got to be aggressive and get his shots. Bledsoe, same thing. You can't, from game to game, decide, okay, I'm going to play a half, and then the other half, you disappear. Those two guys must get better this offseason and must get a mentality change. And I don't know how you do it because, you know, Gary will say it time and time again, going all the way back to Brandon Jennings when he was like his third year in the league. And at that point, Gary already labeled him and said, he is what he is. It's done. Let's just move on. You're not going to change this dude. And I didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was right. These two guys have got to change. And, Blatt's already signed his deal, so he's here. Middleton hasn't signed yet. But if he can't get his game to the next level and be consistent and be as aggressive as they need him to be as that second scorer, I just don't know if they can beat a power like Golden State. Now, next year in the East, if Kawhi leaves and goes to the West, yeah, they can win the East next year, providing there's no super teams built. Sure, they can win the East next year because there's no great team left. But in the West, with Golden State and all of that, that's going to be a lot more difficult to try and overcome at this point. And it's frustrating, I think, from a fan perspective, because you were so close. You thought you should have beat Toronto. You thought you should have been in the situation. I don't know if they would have beat Golden State. I think it would have been a fun series to watch, providing everybody did what they were supposed to do. I think Golden State-Toronto will be a fun series for people to watch, and you can text me what happens, because I'm not watching it. But I think it's disappointing that your second and third best players really didn't do much in this series, and you really needed them to, because they took the MVP of the league and made him not the best player in the series. One close. And not only did they make him not the best player in the series, he pretty much curled up into a ball in the fetal position in the corner and wasn't the same player. And when that happened, those two guys had to go, we got you. We'll take the pressure off you. We got you. We're going to do something. And all I kept thinking about driving back from Iowa in my brain was, okay, in Miami when LeBron, Wade, and Bosh got there, they had to figure the roles a little bit, right? These guys have been together, so you would think these roles are figured out. Maybe not, because now that Giannis has went to this next level, maybe Middleton is trying to search of, well, what am I supposed to do? Are we supposed to stand around and watch him just run into five people, or how many shots should I get without everybody getting mad at me that Giannis isn't getting enough shots? Maybe roles have to be defined stronger, and maybe the coaching staff needs to get on these other two guys to get more aggressive. And Bledsoe shot threes last summer at Budenholzer's request, and I'm sure he'll do it again this summer, but he needs to be reminded his strong suit is getting to the rim and creating for others, and he needs to do that more consistently, regardless of if it's a regular season game or a postseason game. Those two guys, I think, for me, are the key to them winning a title and having sustained championship thoughts and hopes going forward.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you.
That's why we're the big show.
and we haven't even really talked about this, but I totally disagree with you. And if they're going to win championships, Giannis has to be better. But he is the only guy that has the upside to be great. Not those other two jokers. Those other two guys, Bledsoe and Middleton, once again, they are what they are. I mean, we've seen this, right? I mean, we've seen Bledsoe and Middleton for a couple years now. We know what those guys are. There's nothing really appreciably has changed with those two guys. Really, if you think about it, nothing. It's the same old stuff we've been talking about. He can't go and hide. He got to have this. We've been saying all this stuff about Middleton and Bledsoe, you know, since they've been here. There's only one guy that has given you next level stuff, and that's Giannis. And he's the only one out of those three guys that has a whole nother level to go to be the greatest player ever to play the game. Those other two guys don't have that. So to me, it's all about Giannis. I hate to put it all on him, but you saw a guy in Kawhi led his team. And to me, that's what it came to. I don't know who, I mean, I'm trying to figure out who the second best player is for Toronto.
Siakam.
But if you go back and look at the numbers and all that kind of stuff, that Van Vliet guy probably had the biggest role out of all those guys.
He shot 82% in the last three games from three.
Right?
Because he hadn't done anything at that point.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
He was their X factor for sure.
Yeah, Siakam, I get that. Siakam, he's
gonna
Ibaka, all that.
Siakam's going to be an all-star every year.
I get that. But really, I think the guy that did the most damage for sure in the last two games was Van Vliet. I mean, he might have been the second best guy. I mean,
and throughout the series, Kyle Lowry exceeded everybody's expectations of what he was going to do in the series,
absolutely.
Too.
So they had, but what they had was other guys step up and do other things, but led by Kawhi Leonard,
who was playing hurt.
One leg, so they say, which we would never thought he would do anything like that because he most certainly didn't do it in San Antonio.
Right?
Took a pill there for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a heck of a – I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
When you think of where he's come from in the last 3-4 years.
And I think that's why somewhere we got lost. We lost Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi, and we'll see in this next year, but you're looking for a defining moment for Kawhi. It was this last Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, you think about all the shots that he made, the shot that he made to get Toronto to the Eastern Conference Final. I mean, we don't even talk about that because we saw it, but I mean, wasn't that big? The shots that he was hitting and how he was getting them.
The three Giannis, in the corner absolutely buried him.
Right. And I'm not looking for Giannis to shoot it like Kawhi, but I'm most certainly looking for him to add something else to his game. I just don't think those other two guys Steve talked about have some improvement, but the biggest improvement and the biggest jump is in the Greek Freak. That's where you're going to get it. There's no way that guy of that magnitude who's going to be the MVP of the league averaged less than what he did during the regular season than he did during the playoffs. That really shouldn't happen.
So when you say that Giannis, and we're going to get this answer on the other side of the break, because I think it's a really, really expound upon a bolt, right? Is that a right word to say? Answer, Gary, because when you say Giannis needs to be better, and I agree with you, I believe he does, especially in the last four games. You saw the major holes in his game that we talked about all year long be exploited because you hadn't seen a team be able to do that in the regular season, but no team, as we said, was going to see them for six straight nights.
Here's the thing.
And didn't have the assets to try and deal with Giannis.
The physicality that Toronto has.
They had
and
long
we said
players
that coming in. Though.
Right. They had long players that were interchangeable and athletic.
Anybody that can guard him would be Toronto. They could throw him because they had the guys that throw up at him. But you saw he had nothing else. He had zero nothing else game. Nothing. Now, listen, Shaq came into this game saying that he didn't need a jumper. Well, that changed. Barkley was kind of but he also changed his mind. Reggie Miller has always been on it that he needs a jumper. He has to develop a jumper because now he hit a couple threes in game six, right? And I thought so. I don't think he's that far off. If you ask me, it looks nice. It looks pure. It looks sweet. But not only that is his game, but Steve didn't mention it a little bit too, though. I think this was truly a learning curve for the Milwaukee Bucks, the players. Toronto guys, go down a roster. These guys have kind of been there. The Bucks really haven't.
And the Raptors have been spoiled by the great one in the last 8 years, in the last 3 years, especially being bounced out by LeBron James. Yeah. They knew what their roster was going to have to take to be able to win an NBA championship. Do you believe the Bucks roster is good enough to win an NBA championship as it is right now? It was good enough to win 60 games, beating the number one seed in the Eastern Conference final, but it only takes you 2-6 games as the Toronto Raptors beat the Bucks. 414-799-1250. You want to join our conversation here, Gary, as now we're into springtime. You can look around the house. I know the Bucks had captivated a lot of people's time and plans, and really what you've been... My bank account got a lot bigger because now I don't have to worry about trying to buy tickets to the NBA Finals. Now, also, the best part of this whole thing is, and I really got this silver lining when I was driving back from the wedding this weekend as I had to pay the incidental in my hotel room after, was that now I don't have to jump out of a plane for Gina Della.
Well, that's great. And you don't have to jump out a window anymore either. Because
no.
They can come in and put one in. For perfect. Guys, my good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process. And right now, they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. Guys, there's no payments until June of 2020. Guys, experience the Pella difference when you work with Gina Della from Pella. You work with her and her entire team, guys. They're there to make your job run smoothly. So call them right now at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600, or go to PellaWI.com. Ask for the zero down, zero financing, zero payments for 18 months, and tell Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin that Gary and Leroy sent you.
We'll also memorialize the life of Bart Starr with a couple of men that played for Bart Starr, and James Lofton and Lynn Dickey. They come up at 248 and 348, respectively. Right now, we're talking about the Bucks bouncing out of the Eastern Conference Finals. Kim LaVoy, Judgment Day on the Wendy's Big Show. Is this roster good enough to win an NBA championship? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This is the Wendy's Big Show. Here's something to cluck about. Wendy's Made to Crave menu now includes delicious chicken options. So upgrade those basic go-tos with the new avocado BLT, sausage bacon chicken, and barbecue chicken sandwiches today. Available now at participating restaurants.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch hanging out. We got a full house over on the other side, too. Interns Derek and Austin, assistant Anthony Mandela, talking about the old wing T formation in the backfield that we got over there. We got you at 414-799-1250, and we don't have game one of the NBA Finals at Fiserv Forum on Thursday. Was thinking about going and had plans to go to the Mecca on Thursday for the last 3 weeks. It was lined up, and then I thought, you know, hey, I'm going to go anyway and watch game one of the NBA Finals on Thursday at the Mecca, and I just can't do it. That would be too sad, right? That would be too sad.
Yeah, there's no way I'm purposely going out to watch that game anywhere. No.
So you're not going to watch it at all?
Even turning it on, for that matter. This is my dilemma. I'm not rooting for anything affiliated with Drake and that Toronto Raptors team, so that's not happening. And I cannot stand Draymond Green, so I'm definitely not rooting for him. So to that point, it doesn't really matter to me who wins.
Leroy Butler has leaped into the studio as well.
Now, we know he's rooting for Golden
now
State.
Now we got our two former Packers here on the show.
Well, we don't know. You
Draymond's your guy. How are you not rooting for Draymond?
Well, he's one of the best players in the NBA. That's his coach.
I can tell you this. I'm cheering very hard for Golden State.
Well, don't ask me.
Yeah, I'll cheer very hard for the Golden State Warriors. Without I can tell you that much right now. 414-799-1250. Is this roster good enough to win an NBA championship
it's not. No. Because this roster won't be the same next year. And this is just not for the Bucks. It's for every team. Every team is going to switch players because they feel like that roster is not good enough to get us to where we want. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that. There's no way to get around it. you're not going to bring the exact same roster back. If you do, it'll be unprecedented. And then, yes. Okay, yes, yes. Let's try it again. Same old thing. You may lose coaches. You may lose front office people. That's why you have to put so much into trying to win it this particular year. It's going to be changes. You're not going to want to play Lopez $15 million a year if one of these teams throw it out there. You may not want to do that. You just may not want to do that. You may not want to match if some team wants to pay the president $23 million a year. You may not want to pay cash, Chris Middleton, $32 million. You may not. So this roster was not good enough to get it done. And I think for the most part, moving forward, you have to understand that this wasn't a one-off. You're going to be back in the position again, but we need to upgrade the roster. With all the negative stuff that's been flying around, let's upgrade. But our negatives aren't what the negatives at ServeSports. Because what we see as fans and analysts, they don't see it that way. John Horst doesn't value his players based on what he see in social media. I should hope not when I have a meeting with him next week. I hope we would, because we got to talk about all kind of free agents and drafts and stuff. With that stuff, they have to keep a level head with this stuff. They can't overreact like the social media has been driving. But to answer the question, absolutely not. If it was, we'd be playing Thursday.
Giannis was asked the same question yesterday at his season-ending press conference.
Obviously, I want this, you know, the same. I want everybody back. You know, great freaking team. Unselfish players. They play basketball the right way. The winners, and we had the great atmosphere. We didn't have no, how can I be polite? I want to say the A word. We didn't have no...
Bad heads.
What?
Bad heads.
Bad heads, yes. So, obviously, I want everybody back, but it's something that I'm going to let my teammates know that. For sure, but I never want to get involved with, you know, front office decisions, because I'm always going to take my, you know, my team inside. But obviously, I feel like if the team is back, we have a chance to win it. So that's all I care about.
Sparky is a guy that's always for recruiting players and superstars being involved and having the ability to voice their opinions. That comment by Giannis.
I don't know if it matters what he thinks. I don't think it matters. If you saw the comments made by Chris Middleton, he said he has to do what's best for his family, and then the best fit is second. Now, as a fan, you read this and go, you're a multimillionaire already. You're making $14 million
a
year.
Don't count people's pockets. What do you do that.
He says what's best for his family, that's what the average fan's going to say. Dude, you're already a multimillionaire.
So that family don't care about his family?
What family don't care? What? Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Let's slow it down.
Okay, please do.
The guy that says that he doesn't like that comment, does he not care about his family? Right?
Care about Middleton's family?
No, forget about Middleton.
Their own family.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That guy makes the best decision for his family. Construction workers, you know, I love teachers more than anything in the world.
Firefighters.
All those first responders, the people up in Ohio that don't have houses from tornadoes.
Yeah.
You make the best decision for your family. So I respect that, but I do get the...
Because everybody looks at it from a financial perspective.
I know, and I'm okay with that, too.
And it may not be. It may be a city that has a better school system than the city you're in.
There could be other stuff. Those are the things he's saying, but again, we're selfish. We want him to stay, but for cheap. We want you to stay, .. So here's his clapback. I'm going to do what's best for my family.
Right, so pay me. So listen.
He didn't say that.
No. I know that. I understand.
Okay, but I don't want people to say he said that.
But from a Bucks fan perspective, if you want it back, you don't feel the best after you read that, right? You're like, well, that's not exactly him saying I'm coming back for sure. This is him saying I'm going to test the market and see what's best for my family. Then you got Brogdon, who really just said, yeah, we're just going to let it play out, see what happens. So he pretty much, and from everything I've heard, he's trying to get the biggest contract he can get.
Like, better.
There's no sure. He wants to get paid the most he can get. Whoever's going to pay him the most.
Show like me and Gary.
Well, the other thing, it's been battling injuries his whole career. So you don't know how long he's going to go anyhow before he gets hurt again. So from his perspective, you should want to get paid as much as you can get paid, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not faulting Brogdon. He hasn't had his big payday yet. So Brad's going to try and get paid as much as he can get paid.
But they can match with him, so they got some time with him.
They can match, correct, because he's a restricted free agent.
Right. But then
the luxury tax comes in of, okay, so Milton's got a max contract offer, and he comes back to Milwaukee and says, all right, y'all, so Clippers offering me their max slot. What do you think? Meanwhile, Brogdon's on the other burner. He's got an offer of $21 million a year from the Hawks. We do both them. Are we going the luxury tax? And if not, then what happens with Brook Lopez?
I would love both of them on my team, the Lakers.
George Hill is the only one that has said, eh, money's not a big deal to me. That's not really a deciding factor necessarily at the end of the day.
Well, that's a true vet.
He just made $18 million this year.
Understandably so.
He's at the end of his career. He's trying to get another ring. And he had that great chance with his Bucks team.
Absolutely.
And all these young guys love them some George Hill based on everything you hear from all these guys in the Milwaukee Basketball Hour throughout the year with Bill Michaels. So
everybody loved themselves some Scott Williams, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
414-799-1250. Let's go to Trell on the north side. He's up on the fan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Where are you at? The babysitter's house? Are you dropping the kids off? What's going on here?
Right.
Hello?
Yo. This is what I feel.
Here he is.
I can't hear.
They can't win a championship at the same time. Because I didn't have faith that no team was performed before you came into it. I was proven right, and this is Eric Bledsoe's second year that he disappeared. And those are two of the top three players on your team. Mm-hmm. They got to upgrade that, or we're going to fall short because we can't depend on other teams not getting better, you know. So we got to take the onus and get better because, you know, if the owners don't want to spend luxury tax money and if we don't decide to get better, then we lose our team. We lose our team. Because I think that you open the door to cracks. They're already on them. So I think the Bucks got to do any and everything possible to continue to upgrade their team to be a championship-level team because you've proven you're at the door.
Appreciate the call, Trell. And they got to the doorstep, Gary, like you said, but they might have needed to get off the bus guy, the number one dude.
I like that one.
Thank you. Glad somebody picked it up.
Yeah.
To be able to kick the door down, and that was supposed to be Giannis. It was supposed to be 34.
Right. I mean, that was the guy that you were leading with, and he just, to me, and I'm sure he'd be the first one to say he's frustrated, and I'm sure he figured out that his game got a little exposed, and, you know, top of the key, I'm going to drive to the right and turn around, see if I can get in. It didn't work. Or I'm just going to run through like three. I mean, it just got to be a daunting task to do that game in and game out. And that's why when I said earlier in the year, I said, wait till we get to a series and you got to start playing these games every other day and you got to be as physical as Giannis plays, he's going to wear down. I saw somewhere where someone said that he was afraid. But this is when people do like reaction. He's not afraid. Just wore out. Just doesn't have, got no more. Because really, it was.
I saw a lot of those comments when he walked out of the arena with a towel over his head.
It was
right?
really one against four. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I don't know, and I'm going way back. It's like Eric Dickerson when he was playing for the L.A. Rams.
The Cardinals?
Yeah. You remember that, Leroy? Yeah. You knew. I mean, he goes to Chicago, and Mike Singletary and them ate him up. Because they knew you just can't be that physical like that for that amount of time. It just wears on you. You just don't get afraid. You just get tired. Your body just get worn down physically, and you got nothing else. Then you get frustrated, and then you start either football player fumbling, making mistakes. In Giannis's case, he was ball rolling all over the place and trying to dive and get him, twist
sure.
his ankle.
Missing free throws. Yep.
Just so frustrated. Wasn't afraid. Wasn't had anything to do with afraid. More, it was that. He just had nothing left and didn't know what to do. Remember I was talking, I think I said this last week, about, you guys weren't here. Tim was talking about players quitting, and maybe that does, but I never, never, ever in my life quit in a game. Mm-hmm. Never. In practice, not necessarily quit, but in practice, I tried my hardest all the time in practice. No, I probably didn't.
Just slow up every once in a while. Yeah, yeah. On a Thursday, can me?
But in a game situation, I'm giving you all I got in a game. Okay, but there'll be a time where I'm like, that joker, that better than me. And maybe you look over to the sideline and look at your coach, and maybe he's got an idea on how to do something different or to get you freed up. And sometimes they don't have an answer. Sometimes guys are just better than you. Then you need to come back the next year and try to figure out how you can be better than what you were the previous year.
Brian's in Shorewood. He's next on the fan. Brian, is this roster good enough to win a championship?
Absolutely no way. 100% negative. You know, I think people that believe that this is a growing curve for the Bucks and they're going to be better next year and it'll be easier.
That's what I believe.
I think they're drinking the Kool-Aid and filling the punch bowl because with egos and salaries and injuries and things can happen, the salary cap. There's no guarantee they're even going to have half a season like they did as you're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think they're believing that that's going to happen, and it's just like a formality. You keep taking a next step until you get to the promised land, I think, is wishful thinking. I think that when your best player is not as good as the best player in the other team, you got no chance.
Right, you got a problem.
And second of all, the best thing that can happen to the Bucks right now is they need a number two to go with Giannis. And that'll make Giannis better. It'll open up the court. It'll make everybody else better on the team. But you have too many guys. I saw through that six-game series, the Bucks were exposed for what they are. They're a jump-shooting team. When they're hitting 20 to 30%, they're dead fish. I too many times saw the Bucks all standing around the perimeter while Bledsoe held the ball with 5 seconds until 5 seconds or 11 o'clock. Giannis dribbling at the top of the key. That's not Giannis' position to be at the top of the key like that so often, so many times through a series, through a game. He needs to be in the post. He needs to be in the
He didn't do that during the regular season. That's all he did during the regular season was he was up.
He's playing a different team every night. Somebody's game planning you for a 7-game series.
Yeah, no doubt.
They can make an adjustment.
But nobody was saying that during the regular season, though, buddy.
Because they're playing a different team. But I really, really look at this. Never thought that Budenholzer would get out-coached. And when you have a coach now that's 0-5 in game-clinching games in a series, that says something, too. That needs to be addressed and looked at. Many coaches are regular season coaches, whether it's NFL, baseball, whatever. When you get into the playoffs, it's a different season. It's a different thing altogether. It's a different mantra. And I just didn't too many times seen the Bucks all standing out on the perimeter. Somebody jacks up a three and airballs it or bounces off the rim. There's nobody underneath to get the rebound. And I just think the Bucks, bigger than anything, they need a number two.
Appreciate the call. And luckily we have enough time now to address that. And we will get into Mike Budenholzer. We'll talk about the feelings that maybe Budenholzer needs to be better. We'll talk about players that need to be better. And we'll talk about acquisitions that need to be better on the Wendy's Big Show. 414-799-1250, live at 105.7fmthefan.com. If you want to email the show as well, this is a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day. We got Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Anthony Mandela has a sports flash. You got a chance at $1,000, and we're back on the Fan.
I love these guys, but I'm going to be with my family the rest of my life. So I want to make sure they're right, they're comfortable with what I'm doing. And then just am I in the right place, the right situation, the right team? I want to win the championship. I feel like we're close. We could have won, but we didn't. So that comes second to putting myself in the position where I can win a championship with some team.
Chris Middleton, after the Bucks lose in Game 6, that was yesterday back in Milwaukee, as the Bucks have their season-ending press conferences after losing in the Eastern Conference Final. 414-799-1250. Is this roster good enough to win an NBA championship right now? You can answer that with us. James Lofton comes up in 6 minutes.
This proves that Gary, Steve, that Milton has heard all these people say this about it. They should be happy to hear that. You know, maybe I may not be here.
Sure.
He was
pretty open that he's going to make the best decision for him and his family.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you in saying that that's exactly what he should do.
Yeah. I mean, because too many guys get to a certain situation and then their family is like, hey, we're not on board with that. Why don't you just tell us? Hey, listen, I'm going to make the decision. That's like this caveman mentality. I'm going to do it and y'all do exactly what I say. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen, I get it. You go do it. We'll stay here. And go to school, and my wife is a nurse. Instead of you asking me so if she can transfer, you just did it. It's so that you come home, everybody's unhappy, but when you're on the court, you're happy. You got to find a balance for that. But no one wanted him. No one wants him back. Who cares? They don't want Chris Middleton back. If they do, it's a but.
And they have their prerequisite of what they want to pay him. Latrell's downtown. Yeah. He's next on the Fan. Hi, Latrell.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
My brother.
I think you jokers got it all right. You know, it's a good way. You got a good different points all over. I think all you guys hit a couple points. I think Chris Middleton and Brogdon will be most important guys to try to bring back for the chemistry, for the camaraderie, for Giannis. I think Lead 36 can just say his coach name. What's his coach name? Booten. Yeah, that guy. He dropped the ball, man.
Uh-oh.
He dropped the ball. You guys know that. Just as Nick Nurse, he traded. I mean, he put Kawhi Leonard on Giannis, and we didn't make a change besides putting Brogdon in the starting lineup. That was good. That was the change that we needed, but that should have happened game one. So the team can get back to roll. Like Sparky said earlier in this conversation, he said these guys got to have defined roles. I don't feel like they had a defined roles when it hit the fan. It wasn't no B plan. It was only A. It was A. We got here 60 wins. Let's do it. But I think they did trade it up when they start switching everything on defense, and that really cracked the hole in our offense and defense.
Appreciate the call, Latrell. I agree. I think the switching was definitely one of those where you saw it multiple times in those last four games. Dude's just wide open in the corner. Guy's wide open on the outside.
I mean, and just straight losing guys, man.
Right, just losing losing them in transition. And you said it, too, with Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm.
A guy's going to shoot 14 of 17 from three in the last three games of the series.
Hey, listen. And I love shooters. If you're going to leave me wide open, most guys in the NBA, most guys, They're gonna knock it down, especially what you're known for shooting.
Now, nobody left this guy open, Gary, and if they did, they got burned. James Lofton is a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
James double teamed too.
Right. Yeah, talk about putting a wall against somebody. They had to put a wall against James Lofton. James Lofton, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Packer Hall of Famer. He joins us next to memorialize the life of Bart Starr here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Wendy's Big Show. Here's something to cluck about. Wendy's made-to-crave menu now includes delicious chicken options. So upgrade those basic go-tos with the new avocado BLT, sausage bacon chicken, and barbecue chicken sandwiches today. Available now at participating restaurants.
One of my favorite quotes is from William Jennings Bryan, and I think it sums up how I feel about my career and what I was able to accomplish when he said that destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It is not something to be wished for. It is something to be attained.
That's the late, great Bart Starr. This is the Wendy's Big Show. 414-799-1250. The phone number live at 1057fmthefan.com. That's where you can email us at. You can listen to us 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler are two former Packers. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's alongside. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, former Green Bay Packer, is James Lofton. James, appreciate the time, man.
You bet. Nice to be with you guys.
Now, James, you obviously have memory of playing for Bart Starr.
I certainly do. I can even go all the way back to the morning I was drafted. You know, the draft was not televised back in 1978. It wasn't as big a deal. I ended up going to class after I'd gotten drafted, went to track practice later on. But at 7 a.m. on the West Coast, about 6:50, the Los Angeles Rams called me and wanted to know if they had the correct phone number. And so I was all excited, you know, being from Los Angeles. And at about 7:25, Carol Edwin from the Green Bay Packers called me and asked me, can I hold for Bart Starr? And, you know, you don't say no at that point. and Bart gets on the phone and he says, congratulations on becoming a Green Bay Packer. And I was overwhelmed with excitement. And, you know, I'm about to become a Stanford graduate, but I had to kind of check where Wisconsin was on the map. And so, you know, you see Chicago, you see Minnesota, and there's, you know, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, right above it. So it was off to Green Bay, and best thing that ever happened to me in my life, probably.
You know, what stands out the most to you about Coach Starr? I saw some pictures on Facebook from Ezra Johnson's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I did not know he attended actually Ezra's wedding.
His wedding, yeah. And kiss Carmen on the cheek.
Yes, yes.
It's so crazy to think that we lose perspective when he's our coach. If you look at the National Football League and its history up to that point, he was one of the probably four or five greatest players in NFL history that we could have ever come across. But we were with him on a daily basis, so we saw him as Coach Starr and somebody who, and Ezra and I exchanged some text messages, somebody who really wanted to feed into our lives, wanted to make us better men. And when you're 22, 23 years old, you're just interested in having fun, playing football, doing all those things. But like I tell a lot of people, I find myself repeating things that he said just like I do with my dad. And he and Cherry, you know, I said that they were kind of like second parents to me and Beverly. And what I realized is that everybody on the team probably felt like that.
How did it go with you being a wide receiver and him obviously being the quarterback that he was? Did you see that as an advantage for you and Lynn Dickey back in the day, having a former quarterback as your head coach?
I got a chuckle about it because when I got to Green Bay in 1978, the passing tree was pretty simple. We probably had about 9 routes that you could run from the split end position. You know, some that we featured more in practice than others, a deep hook, a deep in route, a comeback, and a post pattern were probably the 4 passes that we threw the most. Well, the defensive backs, they saw those all the time. So they would know by your alignment what route you were going to run before you even – you know, got set and ready for the ball to be snapped. And they were just annihilating some of the other receivers. And what I noticed is I'd run a deep square in at 20 yards and nobody would hit me. I'd run a comeback and nobody would hit me on that. Nobody would jostle me and run a hook. And a few years later, Steve Luke, Willie Buchanan, Mike McCoy, Johnny Gray, they told me, Bart told us not to hit you. It wasn't like I was running the greatest routes ever. Bart said, don't hit him. We don't want to ruin his confidence. And so, you know, he understood how fragile players can be coming out of college, when they need to be pushed, when they need to, you know, a little pat on the back. And he was very much aware of that, having been a former player himself.
Speaking with James Lofton, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver James Lofton on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, James, I wanted to talk, and by the way, tell your wife we say hello because she's amazing. I want to thank you.
She's the best part of the two of us, yeah.
I was going to say that. I'm glad you did because I love her. She's awesome. I just want to talk about the frame of Bart Starr taking the job of head coach, because a lot of fans may not know the story of that, because I know he's all, you know, all everything, quarterback, and you know, maybe it wasn't successful. How does, you know, history look down upon him as a player and a coach? But he was able to do it because that's what the fans wanted.
They really did. They needed somebody from that Lombardi tree to come back and kind of resurrect the franchise. And the team was down at the time. They had, you know, had a big trade at quarterback, lost some draft picks, and so the cupboard was thin. Bart had some pretty good first-round picks, leading all the way up to a guy by the name of Bruce Clark out of Penn State, who elected to go to Canada. And when Bruce did come back to the NFL years later, he went to New Orleans, made a Pro Bowl, so he was really a top-notch defensive lineman. And I'm kind of fast-forwarding. So I'm there in 1978, and this is the 1993-84 season. We lose Mike Butler to the USFL. Mike Butler's backup gets hurt. The guy who backs up the backup gets hurt. The guy who backs up the backup of the backup also gets hurt on the defensive line. We are second in the NFL in scoring, and we give up the most points in the league, and we end up with an 8-8 record. Now, when I went to Buffalo years later and got to play in 3 Super Bowls in a row, I kind of saw what a good team looked like. If you had taken Bruce Clark and Mike Butler and put them on those teams, I really believe that those are 11-5, 12-4 teams, and Bart Starr would have been as successful as a coach as he was as a player.
as Martin Levy. Let me ask you also then, because I heard some things that he never really cursed or did anything outside the lines like that as far as pregame talks, no, or if he got mad in locker room.
He was Tony Dungy before Tony Dungy was.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
So what you got then, James? Aw shucks or gosh darn it or what was it?
You know, I really –
Jimmy to Christmas?
That, sometimes that's left to the assistant coaches.
There you go. There you go.
And you know, you because you want somebody as your head – if your head coach is constantly dropping F-bombs and profanity on you, at some point you tune them out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think guys ever tuned Bart out. You know, we were there to listen to him, to absorb everything that he had to say to us. One of the most devastating losses we had was on the road to the Atlanta Falcons. We tied them up at the end of the game, I think 41-41, and we lost the game in overtime. They intercepted a pass and ran back for a touchdown. And that game was really a microcosm of that season I was talking about. You know, 41 points, you think you're going to win that game, mm-hmm. but you allow the other team 47 points with an overtime victory.
Was that the same year as the Monday night game against the Redskins?
I think the Redskins might have been a year earlier. And so this 83-84 season, we were one of the most explosive teams in the NFL, but we just didn't have the defense to match it.
Bart Starr work after you left Green Bay and went on to further your career as far as how much you communicated, talked, and how did that all work?
You know, it's an amazing point. Whether I was broadcasting NFL games or whether when I was coaching for the San Diego Chargers, and kind of like clockwork, toward the end of August, here comes a letter from Bart wishing me good luck and this and that. So, you know, he came from a different era. And I saw recently an interview that Paul Hornung was giving on him when Paul was a current player and a teammate of Bart's. And Paul said, you know, we all know Paul Hornung is, you know, one of the top bachelors and playboys of all time. He said if he had a son, he'd want him to be just like Bart Starr. And I think that speaks volumes when your teammates look up to you like that.
You know, it was also amazing, too, that the Green Bay Packers, that he came back for the whole Brett Favre retirement. I think he came back one other time, yeah. But it was great to see him at least get the strength up to come back. I thought I did him a world of good.
Well, when remember the old Rocky movie when Rocky's eating the raw eggs and he's running at the beginning of the movie, and then he finally runs up those steps. Anybody yeah. who's ever been to those steps in Philadelphia knows they're only like 25 steps.
Yeah.
But in the movie, they make it look like it's 150. I was in communication with Bart Jr., his son, and Bart literally had to train for that, to get his strength back. And that became like his goal that was on the wall. I'm going to get back to Green Bay to celebrate this young man, Brett Favre. And it just, you know, whatever he did in life, whenever he did it, he put 100% into it. And I think that's what he tried to convey to his players who played for him, and obviously to the guys who played with him, you know, loved him and played hard for him.
You know, James, I said this the other day, and I think, I mean, yeah, of course he won championships and did those kind of things, but I think he was just equally as big off the field and really what he stood for as a man.
Yeah. The association with the Rawhide Boys Ranch was kind of really ahead of its time,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking wayward youth and giving them a home, giving them somewhere that they could go to, that they could learn. Because he was always about that, even with, you know, the guys who were on the roster, you know, always kind of mentoring and saying things to us, setting an example. And I've said this in a couple of different interviews. We had a training camp one year where you have these bins in the locker room, and you're supposed to throw your T-shirts and your sweatshirts and your socks and all that stuff into the bin. And then you have trash cans where you cut the tape off of your ankles, and you're supposed to put that tape into the trash cans. And at the lunchroom, you take your tray up, and they bust your tray for you. Well, we weren't doing a good job in any one of those three areas. We weren't taking our trays up. You'd cut your tape off, and all you had to do was reach over 5 feet and put your tape into the trash can. We were missing the trash can. You were throwing your socks and jocks on the ground. And he came in and said, you know, we do have people who come in and clean up after you. He said, but you can tell the true measure of a man by how he treats somebody who can do nothing for him. And if I say that once a week, every week, I say it 10 times. And it's just something that makes me validate how I would want to live my life. Because the true measure of a man is how you treat somebody who can do nothing for you. Mm-hmm. And you watch the way that he treated people. If we had an away game in Los Angeles and he met my 12 cousins, the next time we get ready to go to Los Angeles, he goes, how's your cousin Willie doing, the one who was looking for a job in aerospace? What's he up to now? And you go, I don't remember what cousin Willie's doing. And here he remembered something about one of your family members. It would just blow you away all the time.
You know, James, they had, of course, it was a Memorial Day. I'm a big John McCain fan, so, you know, it was awesome how they put him to rest. They had people who've, you know, served with him, his friends and family got a chance to come in and get. I don't know if they're going to do that for Bart Starr, but I just think the people who saw him play, you know, when they're in their 80s, you know, people maybe in their 90s, you know, people in their late 70s, they want to get a chance to pay their respect. And I talked to a young man who actually saw every game. He said Bart Starr enjoyed being the quarterback of the five-time champions and two-time Super Bowl. It just seemed like so many athletes, now they have everything in the world, and they're so unhappy. But when number 15, he enjoyed that, and that's the one thing I'm going to remember every time I've engaged with him. He just enjoyed being Bart Starr, and I thought that was amazing.
You know, at the end of his career, I guess he had a shoulder injury. So even at practice, he would just toss the ball underhand. He never threw it overhand. Again, I don't know how the shoulder ended up. But there was just a dignity about him. Even when he threw that ball underhand, you know, he would be showing the quarterback something and say, you know, I want you to throw it to the tight end right there over the middle, and he'd just flick it underhand, and they'd go, oh, that looks pretty good. I know he doesn't want to throw it underhand, but, you know, there was just a class about him, a dignity, a grace that I think anybody who was around him wanted to emulate it a little bit.
He was an incredibly special man, and so is James Lofton, who joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show, helping us memorialize the life of Bart Starr. James, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and now if he lasts long enough, he's going to be a Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's a damn good one on CBS where you can watch him. James, appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys, and look forward to seeing you, Leroy and Gary, down the road.
Thanks, buddy. Take care, my brother.
It's James Lofton joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. 414-799-1250, the phone number, if you want to join us and talk some Bucks basketball as well as they fall in the Eastern Conference Finals. We got three more hours on a Kim and LaVoie Judgment Day. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.